Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When a resolute young fellow steps up to the great bully, the world, and takes him boldly by the beard, he is often surprised to find out that it comes off in his hand and that it was only tied on to scare away timid adventurers. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are as caught as often as the bold. Helen Keller. The enemy is fear. We think it's hate, but it's fear. Mahatma Gandhi. Mei Phobos. Do not be afraid. Jesus. Every one of us has in our lives some fear. That nagging kind of uncomfortable feeling, all the way up to outright panic. Each one of us has some fear. And yet the word of Jesus in our gospel for today is, do not be afraid. As if that's enough. Jesus tells his disciples and all of us that we should not fear. Now keep in mind, Jesus tells them this after almost an entire chapter of telling them that he is going to send them out to places they do not know, and that he's not going to allow them to take an extra coat or a bag of food or even a credit card in case there's no place to stay. He's sending them out into the unknown with nothing, but don't be afraid. He tells them that they will be rejected, scorned, even imprisoned. But don't be afraid. And as if that's not bad enough, he reminds them that even their own families may reject them. That in fact, that's going to be the case. The famous, a man is set against his son, a father against his son, a daughter against her mother, and then the infamous thing that explains everything, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. It's biblical. Well, isn't it fun to be a follower of Jesus in light of all of that? Does this sound at all like the prosperity-producing joy and happy clapping of modern Christianity that we've all come to know and love? It doesn't to me. Why tell the disciples and us all of these horrible realities about what it means to be a person of faith? I think part of it is that Jesus knows the world into which he is sending both them and us. Jesus understands that each day his followers will face some difficulty as this new religious and spiritual movement begins to unfold in the first century. He wants them to see what is happening to them, though, with different eyes. To see the world as it is, and not as they imagine in their own selves. And he's hoping that by sort of setting the stage and then equipping them to go into this world, that they will be able to live in it more fully and abundantly. Do not be afraid, he says to them. Don't be afraid of the one who can kill your body. Be worried about God, the one who can kill your body and your soul. Don't be worried about being hungry. There's food enough. Do not worry about any of those things, but see the world with different eyes. David Loza was a really very helpful for me in understanding this text. He reminded me of something I learned in Psychology 101 about the time of Abraham Lincoln. They noted that if you hook yourself up to an EKG machine and a heart monitor and a sweat monitor and all of the things that check your vitals, your vital statistics when you are afraid are exactly the same as when you're excited. If you just looked at the results on paper, your adrenaline count, your blood count, your heart rate, all of those kinds of things, when you're excited and you compared them to when you're fearful, they're exactly the same. You couldn't tell on paper the difference, but you know the difference. He talked about when he was playing soccer, he found that when he was afraid of the other team, he performed terribly. But when he was excited about the game, he performed really well. I think what Jesus seeks for us is less fear and more excitement. And he does so by equipping us for the fear, equipping the saints. First of all, he gives us the tools that we need for the journey. Nope, he doesn't allow them to take a second coat or another pair of sandals. He doesn't allow them to take their American Express card or set up things ahead of time. He doesn't allow them to choose the best houses. He just says, go where you go and stay until you're not wanted anymore. But he does give them these tools. Hope is the first tool. Hope grounded in the Word of God and God the Spirit. In a way, I think that's what Jeremiah was trying to get across to the people of Israel in our first lesson. I thought it was actually pretty funny, Jim. Where are you? There you are. I thought it was pretty funny that you did this whole thing about the whole environment and then started off with this text from Jeremiah that said, I'm giving you bad news and you don't like it. That must have been what you meant when you said that the text sort of worked together. You see, what Jeremiah sees is that King Nebuchadnezzar, who is swallowing up all of the land around Israel, is coming toward the Israelites and is going to destroy them. And the Israelites don't seem to be that interested. Some are just cowering and not doing anything at all. Others are running around in a panic. But none of them will listen to God or to Jeremiah. In fact, they keep saying to Jeremiah, shut up, you're a fool. And Jeremiah says, geez, Lord, what do you want me to do? Everybody thinks I'm wrong, that I'm a fool. What have you done to me? Jeremiah is simply seeking to stir the people of Israel from fear into faithful living. He's not looking for them to take a kind of defeatist way of living in the world. I think back to what Jim said about the environment and how we react to all of this news. Some people, and it's fun, you can just change the channels on the television and kind of pick where you're going to go with climate change. Some people say it's just not true, it's just not happening. Well, I guess that's one way. Other people are, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. I'm staying home. And others, rather than have abject, paralyzing fear, seek active change. They find in the problem an exciting opportunity to live in a new way. In the same way that Jeremiah was calling the people of Israel to live in a new way. where incredible hope turns fear into excitement and paralyzed souls to fruitful living. So the first tool is hope. That God has promised that God will not only abide, but will bring good things to God's people. And the second tool is that God gives us a mission, and the disciples a mission. Mission is a clear, compelling work. And in this case, they are to proclaim the gospel. Do you remember from the text? What is unknown will become known. What I whisper to you in darkness, shout from the rooftops. That mission that God has given his disciples and us is to proclaim Christ crucified, to proclaim God's hope alive and reigning. Each of us have our own fears, our own ways that paralyze us, whether it's playing in public or I loved the dinosaurs thing. I mean, I grew up scared to death of something under my bed. When I was a little kid, I was scared to death that there was something under my bed. And I would, so that scene in Harry Potter where the book goes under the bed and then comes back out again, that freaked me out. My parents even bought a trundle bed so that there could be nothing under my bed but another bed. But it didn't help. And now I really do have something under my bed. It's my dog. And in the middle of the night, she makes noises. There's something under my bed. We each have our own fears, our own paralysis. But what will we do with them? Climate change, the challenging budget that our congregation and the declining membership of our church, a failing spouse, the end of life drawing near are all fears. But God has also given us a clear and compelling mission and the tools to live that mission out. Hope that no matter what, God will be with us. Hope that whatever our present difficulties are, God will lead us and gives us the tools and the hands and the intelligence and the community to make positive change. Tools like a clear and compelling mission to share with the world, not just our neighborhood or our island, but the whole world, that God is indeed love. And not some magical formula for prosperity or well-being or personal gain. That mission is who we are as God's people in this place. When we let our fears dominate who we are as individuals and as a community, we cannot pursue mission. And we find ourselves caught, as Helen Keller says, as often as the bold. So let us be bold. Let us shout from the rooftops that which we hear whispered in little places. God loves you no matter who and how you are. Let us shout from the rooftops those things which we're afraid to say, that even if we're poor or we are gay or we are straight, that God will embrace and care for us and send us on our way. Let us shout that even if there is not enough money to go around, that God still has mission for us. So on this Earth Day, even though our island may be slowly shrinking, do not be afraid. Just do. Amen.